You're tuned in to the Trademark Productions podcast, discussing all things web, tech, marketing, design, and business from sunny Detroit. Sound good? Let's get started.
We're here today to enlighten everyone with our opinions on brochureware style websites and the pros and cons of what those are. And essentially,
wait, why are we talking about brochureware websites? Why do you think that's relevant?
It's relevant in a lot of ways because too many people say, I need a car. But they can't go into specifics. And when they're told that we actually produce and handcraft Maseratis, and that comes at that price tag, they're blown back and think that we're just trying to gouge everybody, essentially. Because what they really wanted was a no-name brand candy bar. They wanted a piece of chocolate. They didn't want Hershey's. They wanted that pricing. Joining us today is expert in site usability and helping businesses go online, Ashley Rumstead.
Psychology major.
And a psychology major of online personas. Ashley Rumstead, thanks for joining us.
Ashley Rumstead, yep, that's me.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you coming along. And I do appreciate you bringing this topic to the table.
Of course.
And let's talk a little bit more about what brochureware is. And this is something that's been it was a term that was coined quite a long time ago, a dozen or so years ago. And this used to be a good amount of our business as well in the early days, early 2000s. You needed to get a brochure website online. It's essentially your trifold, your quadfold, whatever you're handing out to clients and people that you're sending in the mail. You need to get that information online so people can visit that on the www, the information superhighway. But now it's just the internet, and websites do so much more. So if you are selling stuff online, if you want to sell stuff online, you want to manage your own website, you have friends, you know some people, you've heard about WordPress content management systems, you've probably gone way beyond the initial brochureware stage. And it's important to understand the differences that come with pricing in regards to that. So kick it off, Dario Sherini.
Hello.
Who's our marketing communications director, essentially really was passionate about bringing this one to the table. So I'll let him kind of catapult us into the conversation.
Well, I'm going to bounce it back to you with a question because you've been in this longer than I have. And obviously the transition from print to digital, things have changed drastically. Why do you think there's still that gap between perception of value, meaning people come in and they want a website, 5 pages, 10 pages, etc., whatever it might be, but they still have a hard time wrapping their mind around what it takes to get that?
I think we're in
online.
We're in a stage that is parallel to that of wine, spirits. It could be truffles. Why are truffles so much money?
White or black?
Exactly. But why are they so much money? What do they really bring that would beautify a person's palate or that would add to a dish that's being delivered to someone? And why do they come with a price?
I'm following the other ones. The truffle analogy threw me a little bit just because it's rare.
It's rare and they're expensive and they're very, very specific. The first one I did was what?
Wine.
There's a lot that goes into just getting a regular bottle of wine that's mass-produced, that is made with just half-assed grapes and the distillery process or the fermenting process and the bottling process. And it's essentially just it could have a lot of additives and preservatives. It could be
$6 a bottle.
$6 a bottle or even cheaper.
Or in a box.
Ooh.
They've really made differences, and there's a lot of great wines in boxes now too. It's a production cost saving. So let's not rip on that. But websites are the same way. So you can get something that is very simplistic, look and feel, throw the content in there, and then your site's out there. But now you want to talk about, how am I search engine friendly? Or even now, we just passed Mobilegeddon, which April 21st, 2015 was the big mobile update that's currently rolling out as well. That's going to basically, websites that are not mobile friendly, mobile responsive, are going to be in a supplemental index that Google is not going to look so high upon. So maybe that little brochureware website that you're getting is basically responsive, but there's just not a lot of information that's there. It's not going to have a lot of the look and feels. It's not going to have a lot of the functionalities. It may not have data collection points or be able to sell things the way that you want it to. So that would be a good differentiator.
So, and Ashley, maybe you can hop in here with the psychology analysis maybe, but how does that, in your esteemed opinion, how does that gap continue to go on when there's you know, piles of data to support that the internet is the first place, you know, online is the first place everybody goes to do research. What is it? 40% of traffic now on average comes from mobile. So if you're a business owner, right, you have a product or a brand or a service, how are you not paying attention to this every single day as the centerpiece of your marketing?
Don't you think it's just a lack of understanding? Like, going back to the wine example, I mean, I wouldn't be able to taste the difference between a $12 bottle and a $48 bottle, probably.
So you don't know what you don't know.
Maybe you just, yeah, you just don't know what you don't know. I mean, to them, to a lot of people, I'm sure, especially the older demographic people like my dad and my mom, they don't know the difference between a well-designed website and one that functions correctly on, you know, mobile versus one that doesn't.
They just want it to work.
Right.
They just want to open the bottle and drink.
I would say so.
And then let's bring another segment into the fray. So we have somebody, and I'm going to try to make this as generic as possible because I'm actually using a current situation that for with a client that we had. They have a brick-and-mortar business. They were looking to pick up a particular product line, and they bought this other business. However, it was a product line that is demographic, geospecific. So there's boundaries or an area. What's it called?
Region.
Territory.
A region or a territory that that brand could serve. And so by buying this company, she was able to get access to that brand because of where that was going to be located. It was going to be able to expand it, and she'd be able to sell it through her own store, brick and mortar, that was going through some loopholes that allows her to do that. And it was a very popular brand, very profitable brand. With it came a website. So she said, site looks nice. It's got a great design. They have a lot of orders. I'm looking at reports, and they have in the back end with their e-commerce. And look at, I mean, there's this continuous flow of visitors and orders that are coming through this. So she bought it. Now and then after the fact, she's like, all right, I need to get my POS system. I need to get my merchant in here. I want to make some updates. I want to make some changes. And you know what? This site, I need to keep it like this for a year until the term runs out, and then I legally own it, and then I get the brand and everything else. But I can take all my other brands and put it into this site too, because it was very just one brand specific. Let's say it was just Nike. So she wanted to put, as an example, Adidas, Puma, all these other brands into that site too.
Pony.
New Balance.
Keds.
Teds.
Todd's.
So as we started looking into that, there was a limitation to the amount of products that that site license could hold. That was a consideration, nothing we looked at in the beginning. So now she couldn't put all these brands in there. Secondly, she never looked at the fact of how much work that this other business owner was actually putting into it. A lot of traffic was coming from social media. There were orders. There was a lot of repeat orders. That person was also doing her own personal emailing and her own connecting on social media, which she got all those accounts. However, you have to use those things. So now this new business owner is like, well, all these sales are dropping off. I can't even get these other products in here. And now the site doesn't even look that great anymore because there's not this much activity. She was working with a graphic designer, the previous owner, and was able to do promotions. So she had a strategy in place, and she was putting tactics in place to make that site churn money. She was investing money, obviously, in time and effort and actually hiring people and creating product to put on there to sell products. The new business owner was like, this is just turnkey. So their perception of, I'm buying this business, I'm buying this look and this feel, you can buy stuff there online. Oh, that was the other thing too. It wouldn't integrate with her QuickBooks, her accounting software, because the version of that the site was running. So it needed an upgraded version, which meant a new license. And it also needed a plug-in, a patch, in order to make this transfer happen. And so now she's just like, why is it this way? Why are you quoting me all this crazy money? Because we came in and we said, well, let's do some discovery on this, and let me look at this. You know, like an attorney, pay us for 5-6 hours to make all these, you know, figure out all these things. Well, you start talking $1,000 or so. Now the person's like, well, why is this costing all this money? Now you've diagnosed my engine on my car, but now there's all these things wrong with it. Now you're telling me it's going to cost all this extra money to do it. I just bought this. You said this was good before. Well, yeah, you came to me and said, does this site look okay? Does it run? Does it operate? Does it look secure? Is everything working? There was no of these other deals.
Yeah.
She essentially brought a very low entry license to an e-commerce store where a woman was sitting at home, stay-at-home mom, and she was just rocking social media, and she was really big into all of that product line with that demographic and knew how to work and engage with those people. So you got talking about social media usage. You're talking about real networking and engagement. You're talking about methodically thinking about the sales process and how you're going to market with someone and how you're going to actually track their traffic flow into actually converting into a customer or a potential lead, and then how you're going to remarket to those people and how you're going to take new product and announce it to them and do, you know, margin cuts to get sales and things to go. She thought about none of these things. Mm-hmm. She bought brochureware thinking it would perform the performance, you know, of a Maserati or a Porsche. And in reality, it wasn't. So there's just not a great conception, a realization. What's so funny?
Conception.
Perception?
Perception.
Not a great perception, not contraception, of reality when you are looking at these products. Doing diligence and understanding exactly what you're getting yourself into and what you're expecting out of it is important. Approaching going online for your business with the end goal in mind is very important, not just I need a website.
Well, that's an interesting point, too, within the e-commerce realm, which is another thing we see frequently a lot of times with more so with startups. But, you know, if you were going to go and invest in you were going to open a boutique out of the gate, what do you think you would be in? $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to open the doors?
What brand lines?
I'm just saying as an example, you know, you have a lease, you have insurance, you have...
What location?
Can you follow
that? But I'm saying that's where a business owner should be looking at it, that I'm going to open up something. Well, opening up a store by Eastland Mall at 8 Mile in Gratiot as opposed to 16 Mile in Big Beaver in Troy, there's a tremendous amount of difference in cost just brick and mortar wise just to open the door.
Right, but I think where I was trying to go with this before you cut off my analogy was a lot of times we also get people that want to sell online that come in with the brochureware mentality thinking, you know, oh, yeah, I'll just throw up a digital store and it'll, you know, it won't cost much. But even if you went to a low rent area, you're still going to be in, you know, tens of thousands of dollars most likely to open a store. So there's not right. that same thought process put forward of, you know, this is essentially your online storefront. You don't want it to, you want it to function properly. You want to be able to, you know, process sales and have, you know, search functionality within the site and everything you would have on a full-fledged e-commerce site, not just lipstick on a pig.
Another aspect of that too is you're going to open that store and you're going to want to have all these things happen. But you just don't have any plan in place to actually benchmark any outcome. You can't forecast any outcome of what you're really trying to target.
Or you open the store and then you're depending all on foot traffic as opposed to local SEO and mobile and making sure that somebody can find you when they're driving by looking for shoes that they want to buy.
Yeah, I like metaphors. So let's use another metaphor. So you open up a 2,000 square foot brick and mortar store in downtown Royal Oak, and you open up one in Ferndale. In one of them, you line the shelves, you have product, you're maximizing space. There's been a study done on how many products at what eye level is going to be the right product for kids versus parents. You're looking at buying in bulk and warehousing it in your garage, in your house, to then go ahead and put that on your store shelves to be competitive in pricing against big block retailers, all these other things. And then you want in Ferndale. You basically put up some paper, some colored paper in the windows and talk about the fact that they should go to the website or go to the one in Royal Oak. I mean, you got a brochureware with nothing going on and you're expecting foot traffic to go and do something more to try to find you. Your brochureware site, it's very basic about what it says about you. There's a contact number, maybe a form, and then it goes and now it's up to you to do something with it. Where you have the other store that it's leading you through. There's information. It's engaging. There's shelf talkers. You have knowledgeable employees that are, you know, approaching you appropriately at the right times to offer suggestion and not put a bunch of sales pressure on you. That's all a large investment. But do you think that yields a reward? If it's managed, if it's cultivated and harvested, you're going to get a big reward out of it. No different in agriculture.
You need to water and fertilize.
You need to water and fertilize and prune and other things like that. So walking into a business online, brochureware is going to get you that starting place. But I really think of brochureware now, you're going to spend $1,000 at a minimum. Anything below that, I think you're really cutting yourself short, although you probably can do it. But that's your holding place. That's getting the staple business card while your good ones are getting designed and printed. You need to look at the long term and then what you want that to do. And then, again, how are you going to publicize it? You have a brick and mortar space, and we all see that. We drive around, and you see these wonderful shopping plazas, these little downtown areas. But then you see that little nook and corner, and it just happens to be facing the wrong side of the street, or it's just tucked back 10 feet, and it keeps going through businesses every 6 months. It's not positioned correctly. It's right. low rent. It's attracting the wrong type of user base. People aren't seeing it. If they're not exposing themselves through other methods of marketing, it's not just because they open their doors doesn't mean everybody's going to show up. It's not a Field of Dreams, build it and they will come.
No?
Not in 2015.
Or 2014.
No. So the other thing to think about, too, is if you're looking at to generate leads for you, what's going to happen with those leads? Because a lot of times someone's going to click on that brochure website's phone number. Hopefully on a mobile device, it's going to automatically assist that mobile device to call you through their system. If not, someone's got to manually enter in that number. How annoying is that, especially when you're driving? And that's a usability issue. So that's a brochure. But, hey, it was cheap. I only paid $500 to get this site built. Well, it doesn't have these conveniences that you would expect to have or we would want.
That's assuming that they can even find your site.
And that's assumptions. Yeah. And again, we're talking about assumptions. And that's where I'm going to get a website. It's great. And it's everything else. That's no different than coming home and telling your spouse, hey, I got a new car. Really? What'd you get?
Car.
I got a car. Well, define what it is. Did you get a Kia? Not that Kia is a bad brand. Or did you get 85 Cutlass with a new motor and a recently serviced transmission? Or did you get the new Cadillac? 2015. There's a big difference in what your, you know, the expectations are. They're going to be there. Both are a car. And they're going to get you somewhere. If you're capturing leads, once someone fills out a form, where does that lead go? Does it just show up in your email? What emails are going to? Can you configure that? What if you're not going to be around and you need to go to someone else? Should that be stored into a database? It should be going into some type of CRM that you're using. And a lot of people, it's becoming easier. They're very, very low cost. Salesforce is the big one, but it's, you don't need those anymore.
Right.
But to have a lead tracking system or customer relationship management system, those leads should be automatically going in there and something should be doing with those. I mean, even to the point now where we're experimenting with, even at brochureware, where we consider brochureware walk-in pricing, you can still get even call tracking and call recording that come through your website to really track how well certain things are working for you at a very affordable pricing. You just didn't know about any of this. You heard the ad on the radio, news radio, or you seen something in between Fox News when you were watching whoever.
Let it rip. So how do you think the DIY phenomenon convolutes this further? Because obviously you can make a compelling case based on what you just said. If I'm a Johnny business owner and I need to invest $3,000, but you can show me measurable analytics in terms of, you know, forms, phone numbers, etc., leads, visitors.
You got to go further in just your research and knowing what it's going to do. Take the time to take that test drive. If you can't even do that, pay someone else to get it done. I'm a big advocate in saying that I don't like plumbing. I don't like doing a lot of handiwork around the house. A lot of shit I can do, I just don't choose to do it because I value my time. It's cheaper to hire someone to come out there and do those things for me, so I'm freed up to do what I want with my time because it's more valuable. Plus, it's going to be done right. Plus, it's going to be warrantied. And it's probably going to work when at the end. My expectations are going to be there, clearly.
So you're saying unless you really yearn to be a web developer, you should not try and do it on your own.
Yeah, because we even get from the, I would say, from the entry-level clients that we've had, you know, one and done, punch them, knock them out, and then they have hosting and email. But then we get calls, and we get support tickets, and people call us, and they're like, you want to charge me $140 to configure my email? Well, yeah, the people we have working here make a lot of money. They're very talented. They're very trained. And this is configuring email. I can send you a document and point you to a link and you can do it yourself. But we're not responsible for making your email work on your phone. You want that level of support, you're going to have to invest in having someone take care of those things with you. And the brochureware things are not going to happen. Look up GoDaddy support online. I mean, that's been through waves and waves of differences over the years. They're very well known. The brand is very much there. That's people go to buy domain names, but try to manage a lot of things on there. It's ticket hell. It's you're waiting some time. I mean, what business owner has a lot of time to invest?
None.
Yeah.
Typically, none.
So to wrap this podcast up, be careful of brochureware websites. That also includes themes. So if you're out there and you're saying, oh, I'm just going to get a content management system, which you guys sell, and you want to charge me like $5,000 for, but I can get this theme for like $68, and it looks awesome, and all I got to do is go in there, oh, man, it's got this awesome presentation, and they said they got a help doc section, and they got like a couple different 15-minute videos on how to configure this, and I can change my logo out and put my content in there. When's the last time you actually wrote a 300-word article? You know how long that takes? You know how much thought you have to put into something like that? Do you have time to do that besides doing everything you're doing for your business? Or whatever your other daily chores are. you really want to think about putting that and giving that to experts, someone that may be a web agency in Royal Oak like us that can help you navigate those things so you can focus on the other aspects of the business and building that brand and making it successful online.
Yeah, and one thing that we like to point out too to illustrate that point, put that investment against a return, how long it would take to recoup those dollars. That's another way to, you know, put the proper context around it to help you understand how this, a small investment in a brochure site or whatever is going to pay off over a faster amount of time than you might think.
Because 9 times out of 10, building a brochure website, being a business owner, is going to be similar to me like fixing sprinkler heads at my house. I can do it. I get the concept and the principles of it. But I'm looking at my return on investment also as well. So like going to casino, you building your website is like me putting my sprinkler heads. It's not going to be fun like going to the casino. Looking at every time I pull it, am I making money? Am I losing money? Am I making money back? It's not that trackable like that, and it's not going to be fun like that. You might be interested in and eager to take that task on, but in the long term, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to waste time and money, and then you're going to be built up with some resentment and just pissiness and looking for someone else to help you out and to do that. And you're going to be resentful and wanting to spend that money now again.
Yes.
I was just going to say, what would be your recommendation to a, you know, customer looking to build a new website and deciphering between like a good web agency, good developers that could do it really well and do it the right way versus those kind of, you know, ninjas, gurus that we make fun of that kind of say that they know that they can do it all, but in the end don't. How do you decipher between those people and the professionals?
Word of mouth. Reviews, longevity. A lot of those things can be manipulated to an extent. But those visualizations or that evidence is pretty apparent. If someone's been pumping their Google or their Yelp reviews, which you could easily do, that only happens for a certain extent of time. If they have a bunch of great reviews in Glassdoor or some other online site, it only happens for a certain amount of time. Amazon, Craigslist. But I would ask them for, I would honestly ask them, and people have asked me this before, and this is where I took it. A long time ago, a guy said, I want to get 2 references of people you're currently working with, and I also like to get 2 names of people that fired you. And I thought about it. I'm like, okay. You know what? Call this guy, because you're going to hear 2 sides of the story, but what do I got to hide?
Right.
You're going to come back to me and say either you're intrigued and you want to talk more about it, and this guy didn't like you because you did this A, B, and C. I can tell my side of the story then and how we do it. And the way I react, what I say, how I say it, it's all going to play into his decision-making process. So I think that talks more for integrity and accountability, you know, working in a business like this. Longevity. How long have you been doing this? What type of client base do you have?
Probably portfolio.
Yeah, portfolio. And then look at pricing and then ask, why does it cost this much? How do you do your base pricing? A business should not be able to afraid to tell you. A business not should be able to afraid to say, you know what? It costs me X amount of dollars per hour per employee to operate this joint. You know, we pay insurance. We pay these other things too. So I have to make some profit on this. Mm-hmm. That's business. And another business owner should be able to say, you know what? I get it. And I'm willing. If you're going to do a good job, I'm willing. And I want you to make some money too, because I want to help another business owner. If they're not that way, then that agency should probably push away and let them go deal with some other yahoos, because they'll be back around to have them clean up the mess.
Yeah.
It always happens because we get those calls weekly. And thank you very much for attending.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or SoundCloud. Remember, you can post comments or want to be on the show. Head on over to tmprod.com and hit the podcast section. All content on this show is copyright by Trademark Productions or their respective owners and cannot be reproduced without express permission. Thanks for being a part of rebuilding Detroit with us.